A Psalm of the Sanctuary. How amiable, how lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed and happy are they that dwell in thine house. They will be still or continually praising thee, Selah. Blessed and happy is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca maketh a well. The rain also filleth the pool. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the house or the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. May God bless the reading of this precious psalm, one that is divided into three definite sections. The divisions of the psalm can be easily recognized by the word Selah, appearing at the end of verse 4, and appearing again at the end of verse 8, giving three sections of precious truth regarding the ministry of this wonderful word the psalmist has written. May I divide the three sections in the following manner? From verses 1 through 4, we have the revelation, how to find God. Verses 5 through 8, we have the revealing of another precious truth that subsequently will follow when we find God. And it is this, how to follow God, an important requisite. Last of all, verses 9 to the end, how to fellowship with God. May I repeat them simply? How to find God, how to follow God, how to fellowship with God. Note them separately with me. How to find God. One well realizes the longing of the psalmist being expressed in verses 1 and 2. He constantly seems to have the recognition of the loveliness of the presence of God and the longing to be there. But note specially that the whole being of the psalmist was searching to know God. One never finds God until they really mean business in searching to know him. And the psalmist says, my soul longeth. Note it. Not only longeth, it even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. It's very evident, the whole being, the soul, the heart, the flesh, the body, the whole man was crying out to know God. Oh, beloved, none of us will ever know him until we have that same longing. For, says the psalmist, and may I point out when he says, if I don't find God, I'm going to perish, for that's the meaning of the word fainteth. If I don't find him, I shall perish. And my beloved, is that not true? That if no one ever finds God, they're in danger of perishing? For the Lord Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we must realize that I'm in danger of being lost forever, apart and separated eternally from God, unless I find him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, wrote the prophet Isaiah. Call upon him while he is near. But then note something. Lovely illustration in verse 3. How to find God? I believe the psalmist must have recognized this illustrated lesson. As he declares, watching the sparrow, watching the swallow, the sparrow, the most worthless of birds, the swallow, perhaps the most restless of birds, but noting that each of them found a nest. Where? In thine altars, O Lord, my King and my God. There in the shepherd's land, as David the shepherd wandered over the hills of Judea, there were many broken down, overgrown altars that had been built by the patriarchs. And every mention of an altar in the Old Testament was only a representation of the coming death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the psalmist indicates, if a worthless sparrow and if a restless swallow can find a home and a nest in the altars of God, there's one for me. And does not this bring before us the death of the Lord Jesus on Calvary for your soul and for mine? The words of the old hymn come to mind. The Lord Jesus reminding us by the words that the poet has written. Come unto me. You remember the Lord Jesus said, all ye that labor in the heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the poet wrote, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. You and I can never find God unless we find him through the death of his dear son. Did not the Lord Jesus say in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but exclusively by me, and by the way of the cross. The poet well wrote, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. This is how to find God. Have you a longing to know him, to find him? Do you cry out completely from the depths of your soul? You want to know him? Then come to the Savior. For only through him, as the scripture said, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And through Christ and the value of his death, you alone and I alone can find God. And then what will be the result? Note verse 4. Happy are they that dwell in thine house. They will be continually, constantly praising thee, Selah. May we raise the question, are you confident of going to that happy home? In that happy home, nothing but eternal praises will be sung to the living God and to the living Savior in the power and energy of a redeemed body, spirit, soul, and body in the energy of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how to find God, this is how. But then follows subsequently a most convenient, proper lesson. How to follow God? This is important. There are many believers who may have found God but do not seem to be following him. Know what the psalmist writes. First, in the 5th verse, happy or blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Now here is one deep, important principle to follow God. You cannot do it in your own strength. I can do all things through Christ, wrote the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And my fellow believer, young believer if necessary, and any of us older ones, we cannot follow God in our own strength. Our strength must be found in him, and know what follows. In our hearts there must be the ways of God. In other words, how do I get God's way? How do I come to know the ways of God that he wants me to walk in? Beloved, in the word of God, thy word have I hid in mine heart, said the psalmist, that I might not sin against thee. The word of God is my guidebook. First of all, I yield myself to be led by him. Second, I give myself to the study of his word, to know his will. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. By taking heed thereto according to thy word, wrote the psalmist again. And so, to follow God, I depend upon his strength. I take his word for my guidance. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But then, note where it leads. In verse 6, it goes through a valley. Passing through the valley of Baca, meaning weeping or trial. My beloved, when we follow God in this present scene, it's not very comfortable, always. There are testings, there are trials, that's the meaning of the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. But in that valley of testing, this is where my soul can grow, making it a fountain of blessing. And the rain also filleth a pool. May I indicate a precious truth? At the end of this sixth verse, the rain also fulfilleth the pool. The derivative in the Hebrew language of this expression is the word baraka. And you that know your Bible may remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, a most amazing incident in the life of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah and the people of Judah, where God delivered them from the Ammonites and the Moabites who in tremendous numbers came against them. And God fought for them. They did not need to fight in that battle. The Lord made that testing, and it was a great testing, a valley of blessing to them. And the Lord frightened the enemy, who left all their spoils, and it took 3 days for Jehoshaphat and his people to gather the spoils that they found and take the possessions back to Jerusalem with joy. And they called the place the Valley of Baraka, meaning the Valley of Blessing. And may I just merely say, but emphatically, when you and I follow God, it leads through the Valley of Testing, but that Valley of Testing will bring you to the Valley of Blessing. That's how faith grows and develops. And thank God, every valley experience of Christian life will bring us to the Valley of Blessing. And then you can recognize what follows in verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. Beloved, I think of the words that Samuel Rutherford wrote. I quote them as best I can remember them. When writing of life, a life that was his of great testing and trial, made a prisoner in the castle at Aberdeen, Scotland, for many, many days. But he called that prison cell Christ's Castle in Aberdeen. But on one occasion he wrote words something like this. I know not what storms my little bark may sail through as I go on through life, but this I know, I will reach the desired haven. My beloved, let me say, for every believer in the Lord Jesus, God assures you and he assures me, we're going to get through. They go from strength to strength, and everyone appeareth in Zion before God. Oh, I think of the words of an old preacher. When he confessed that in his trials and troubles and tribulations that came, he got such comfort, and it may not have been properly and appropriately applied, but he said that frequent occasion in the Word of God, an expression saying, and it came to pass, and it came to pass, and it came to pass. And every time he was in trouble and trial, he took those words for comfort, saying to himself, well, it hasn't come to stay. It's going to pass. But my fellow believer, every kind of experience that you and I will have on earth will terminate. Praise God. Coming to an end. Then can we not with joy, confidence, and faith rejoice as we follow God, no matter the testing, no matter the trials, no matter the troubles, no matter the pain? I know I'm going to be in his house forevermore and dwell in that home above. And thus, how precious we can lift our hearts in prayerful dependence as the psalmist says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. And with what joy and confidence we can follow God. But let me repeat with emphasis. Let's make sure we are following him according to the word. First, depending upon him for all the strength. Second, following according to his precious word. No other way can we follow God, regardless where it may lead us, to be sure that we're obeying and placing within our hearts his word for guidance, direction, the instruction and blessing. And though it leads through the valley of testing, those valleys of testing can be nothing but a blessing. The outcome be a blessing. Let me quote the words of Hebrews 12:11. Now therefore no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but rather grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. How to follow God? May the words of the Lord Jesus be reminding us, as he spoke to his disciples ere he left them, in John 16:33. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Or may you and I say, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow him. May God help us to be faithful, true followers of our Lord. We that have found him, may we follow in obedience, trusting him, simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. And then the last division of the psalm, verses 9 to the end of the chapter. How to fellowship with God. All the enjoyment of God, how we need to realize what it means. To enjoy God. Oh, one has well said, is not this the chief end of man? And my beloved fellow believer, we may ask our own hearts the question, am I really enjoying the Lord? How can I enjoy the Lord? First note with me as you read verse 9. The psalmist says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Will you please note something very carefully? The psalmist wants God to look upon his face. The sunshine of God's light to shine upon his face. Let me quote the words of another, telling of an incident in the life, I believe, of J. Nelson Darby. When the dear servant of God was asked by a fellow believer, Mr. Darby, if I turn my back on God, will he love me? And God's servant made answer, words something like this. Yes, he'll love you, but his love will have to shine on your back. And I'm sure you get the meaning that is implied in those words. My fellow believer, is it not better to have the faith constantly directed toward the Lord? Let me quote the words of chapter 12 and verse 2, where we are told to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, wrote the poet, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. My beloved, we cannot enjoy God. Fellowship with God will not be enjoyed if our backs are toward him and our faces toward the world. Oh, how important it is to realize that, if I may put this subject in this ninth verse, what we have before us is this, the responsibility. Stay in the sunshine of his love. Remember, he wants to look upon the face of his anointed. Is your faith toward the Lord? Is my faith toward the Lord? Psalm 34 is a lovely expression saying they looked unto him and their faces were radiant. My beloved, may you and I hear those words. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will stay strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. To enjoy fellowship with God, may my faith be ever directed toward the Lord. And may he be looking upon my faith. How important this is. But that's not all. Not only stay in the sunshine of his love, but stay in the glory of his presence. For a day in thy court, we read on in verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Anywhere else. One day. And the psalmist goes on to say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper, literally meaning I'd rather just be over inside the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And this is what we can recognize as implying we should be staying in the presence of God, staying and enjoying the presence of God. Can I quote the words of the psalmist in Psalm 91? Oh, the joy of their meaning, and how little we enjoy them as we should. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. My fellow believers, just let me ask one question. I do it of my own heart. Are you and am I dwelling in the presence of the Lord constantly? I think of an incident that was related to me by the dear brother that led me to the Lord over 64 years ago. Telling of an incident where a farmer was wending his way to the city of London, taking his produce to market, and as he was driving along with his wagon, he saw an old gentleman walking along the side of the highway, and he stopped, invited the old man to come up and sit with him and have a ride rather than walk, and the old gentleman accepted the invitation. And as they sat together, the farmer thought, being a Christian, I'm going to witness to this old man. And so he said to him this question, "Sir, are you going to heaven?" And the old man turned and smiled and answered, "Thank you, I live there." The farmer thought, well, he must be a little deaf. So speaking a bit louder, he said, "Sir, are you going to heaven?" I asked. And the old gentleman turned again and said, "Thank you, sir, I live there." Thinking him to be very deaf, he repeated the question once more, "Are you going to heaven?" And then again the old gentleman answered with a smile, "Thank you, sir. I live there." Beloved, the old farmer wasn't able to get the meaning from the old gentleman. But the old fellow was a believer in the Lord Jesus. And oh, he was enjoying the presence of the Lord, evidently, constantly. The words of Colossians 3 come to mind, where you and I are told, my fellow believer, to set your affection on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, for your life is hid with God in Christ. Let me ask the question, and it searches my heart and condemns me. Do I live there? Is it possible for me to go through this world and still live in heaven? My beloved, some do not think so, but I believe so. But I confess readily, I do not enjoy it as much as I should. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Was it not that man that was called Brother Lawrence, a monk, I believe, who wrote the subject in the book called Practicing the Presence of God? Here are the words. How am I going to enjoy God? How am I going to have fellowship with God? Not only stay in the sunshine of his love, let his love shine upon my face, but also to let my feet stay in the presence, my heart stay in the presence of the Lord. A dear friend of mine now with the Lord often had the saying I've never forgotten. He said, if there's one thing that is better than knowing you are going to heaven, is to enjoy heaven while you're going there. Is this possible? It is. But it demands setting the affection where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, in the presence of God. And David rightly says, if he wrote the psalm, he rightfully declares, I'd rather just be inside his presence than to be dwelling in the tents of wickedness. When you and I think of the wicked world in which we are now living and how wicked it is becoming more and more so, do you not agree? Certainly, I think we need to enjoy the presence of God more. God help us to do it, but let's go further. Not only to be in the sunshine of his love and in the presence of our God dwelling, but also to be obedient to his word. Verse 10 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. not only stay in the sunshine of Islam, not only enjoy the presence, not only enjoy being in his presence, but also to be obedient, walking uprightly. For our God will be a sun that gives light and a sun that gives heat to warm, and he'll be a protector as we go through this scene, and he'll give grace and he'll give glory. My beloved, if you think it's not possible to stay in the sunshine of Islam, if you think it's not possible to enjoy staying in his presence, take the words of encouragement from verse 11. He's our protector and light, and he will give us grace. And someday he'll bring us into his glory. One is well written. There's grace and glory too. There's grace below for weal or woe. And then there's glory too. But reminding us, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. My beloved, you've got to confess, it's a very practical matter, enjoying fellowship with God. It implies not only the enjoyment of the sunshine of Islam and the enjoyment of his presence, but it involves being obedient and enjoying his well done, his commendation for our walk. You can't walk any way you wish. You cannot walk in ways of darkness, ways of disobedience, and expect to be enjoying fellowship with God. No, the Lord. How can two walk together except they be agreed, wrote the prophet. And my fellow believer, may I say very frankly, one of the greatest difficulties in not enjoying, because we do not enjoy God, is also because we're not obeying his word. Think of the old hymn, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Many years ago as a young Christian, and I do go back, I would say 60 years at least on this occasion, a dear servant of God was telling where he was once preaching. There happened to be a lady in the audience that must have been of a Pentecostal character, because she burst out with a hallelujah and praise the Lord occasionally when she listened to his preaching. Well, he didn't object to it, but one day she came to him and said, Brother Gallagher, for that was the man's name, Brother Gallagher, she said, if I get so excited when I'm listening to your preach, if I jump up, would it bother you if I jump? Well, he looked at her and said, Dear sister, I don't mind how high you jump, if you'll only make sure you walk straight when you get down. My beloved, it certainly is not the noise we make that will tell us whether we're walking with God. But oh, that obedient path. That obedience to his word. Walking with the Lord. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with him 300 years. You and I are having a hard time doing it in our short time, aren't we? But oh, let's recapitulate. How can I fellowship? How can I enjoy God? I must seek to be staying in the sunshine of his love. Jude the apostle wrote, keep yourselves in the love of God. I must also stay in the enjoyment of his presence. And I must also be walking obedient to his truth. Please let us not deny these are the three requisites for a life of fellowship and enjoyment while here below with God. Then he recapitulates the psalm. Lovely psalm. Some have called it the psalm of the sanctuary. Well, it really leads there. But in the first four verses, how to find God? Have you found him, my friend? Find him today, if not, through the Lord Jesus in his death. How to follow God? My beloved Christian, are you following? Am I? And last of all, how to fellowship with God? May God sanctify and bless the thoughts from this wonderful psalm, the 84th, and may every one of us be brought into that sanctuary where we enjoy God even down here and do as we have said, enjoy heaven while we are going there to the glory of our Savior in his worthy name. Father, we pray thy blessing upon thy word. Endear it to our hearts and most of all, make it living in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.